for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years in that games community combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, you can. Come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Man, we are both just collectively knackered, it seems.
Yeah, I've got to stop saying it, so like playing video games.
Yeah. Well, actually, that brings into a question that I have been contemplating, Max. So, what's going to sound like a really first world complaint, because it is, and then I'll expand. So, right now, we've hit that window again where we have just games coming out of the wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
There's games everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now, granted, I don't spend like every waking minute that I'm not like working playing games. I play games mm-hmm. a lot, but like nowhere near as much as I theoretically could, using like the idea of every spare minute. And I'm at this point where I'm like, I'm not overwhelmed. It's not quite the word. Because I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and they were discussing this idea of like, remember there was a time when we were kids, and you know, you would go weeks or months without no new game coming out. You know, if you think back to like, what was the example they used? Then the original NES had 800 games total, where we've had that this year. You know, like already in PlayStation, because it's just everyone's making games. So, my question for you, Max, is how do you balance your gaming time with your life so you can maximize it?
Huh. Well, I just don't play games during the day. Mm. I don't play games until my kids go to bed. Mm. Unless I'm playing with them. I'll sneak a few hours in here and there, like during a weekday when Hadley's at kinder and Ollie's asleep. I'll be like, all right, this is it. 2 hours in the middle of the day. But generally speaking, I don't play games until they're in bed.
Mm.
So from about 8 p.m. until I leave for work at 11:30 is my gaming time.
Yeah. But it's 'cause that doesn't seem like a lot on paper, but because it kind of isn't, yet you're still able to like deliver a good amount of hours into a title.
Yeah. Now, granted, that's on a week, not when I work. Mm. When I'm not working, and the reason why I'm so tired today is because I stayed up until 5:30 playing Final Fantasy.
Mm.
Friday night and Saturday night.
That was fun. So how many hours did each of those sessions?
From 8 o'clock at night until 5:30 in the morning.
All right. Cool. Cause what, like,
so what's that, 9.5 hours?
Yeah, shit, that's pretty good, actually. Because it's one of those things where, like, I've been thinking, yeah, just once again, just been thinking about it, and then I look in some of our mates that work in this space, and like, they're somehow, like, just getting it done, putting out reviews, and, like, granted, they've still got that, drive that I've long lost, but, like, it's impressive. Like I said, like, I play most days, and it's pretty much, like, I play some before work, I play some on my lunch break, play it at the end of the day, and then, you know, some evenings, you know, I play, some I don't. Like, this weekend, I was with my kid, so he spent more time playing anything than I did. We went to a wrestling show last night, I went to a gig on Friday night. So, like, my life outside of that, you know, I'm just curious how people like can wrap credits on so many games. Because like,
well, I've just got to stop playing long fucking JRPGs.
Yeah,
like off the bat of Infinite Wealth, which took me 60 odd hours. I'm now playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I'm currently 45 hours into, and I'm only on chapter 10.
Yeah.
Like, it's a slog.
Yeah, and like, oh, so Mute in the chat goes, backlogs, I understand. Like, well, it's backlogs per se, but it's also just keeping up with things as they are. So once again, we're very, very, very lucky in the circumstance that we are in, is that, you know, we get to play the games that we want to. In that we'll reach out, we'll ask, and 9 times out of 10, we're very kindly gifted a code that we're able to play and discuss and make content around. But it's just fascinating to think about, like, you know, there are people that are like, when do you sleep? What do you do? Like, and you know, because it's not everyone's, like, I know
also
two people also, that it's their day job, like, this is their day job.
Like, also, the everyman also doesn't have to play every game.
Oh, I'm mostly talking about our media space, but like, yeah, the average person, they'll just tend to play the game, like whatever one they've picked up. And that's another thing that's been interesting as well. Like, as we say, you know, as we say at the spiel at the start of the show, I have been, I've been working in games coverage for, yeah, the better part of a decade, easy. So, like, how I look at games and how I consume games is very, very different. You know, so no longer am I in a position where, pardon me, where I can only play three games a year because that's all I, you know, that's all I buy. Like, our world is very, very different. And even, but with that luxury comes that hindrance of, well, right now, what am I playing at this very moment? I'm still playing WWE 2K24 for personal fun and for review. We're having a review discussion here live on Twitch Monday, the 18th of March, with Josh Robinson, fellow wrestling lover and creator.
Tonight.
The day this goes up. Yeah, tonight.
You're listening to this on Monday? Tonight.
Yeah, tonight. And then there is also Rise of the Ronin. MLB The Show came up this week. Haven't finished Infinite Wealth, which I was really, really enjoying. What else has come our way? I got a cool code for a fun VR game yesterday, so that was cool. Right up my alley, like, holy shit. Like, it was one of those ones where I didn't apply for it. Key Mailer went, yo. And by God, did they nail the brief. They looked at who I was and the things that I love, and they went, this guy. And bang on the money. Bang on the money.
Is it some dumb farm sim?
Was it?
Is it some dumb farm sim?
Oh, it's exactly a dumb farming sim. It's incredible. You know, and then there's like I did ask for the gas station simulator code for the new DLC, which you can go check out a Let's Play of mine here on the YouTubes. It's the new Tidal Wave DLC where you go from Route 66 to a tropical island. I can talk about that in a little bit, what we've been playing. But like, that's just games that I've had access to in the last like 2 weeks. That's excluding the likes of Helldivers, which I do want to continue to keep playing because it's fun as hell. And then they're constantly pushing these new updates.
I played Helldivers 2 the other night for the first time in ages.
Yeah.
So good.
It's brilliant. And like, I logged back in, and because it's just, you know, it's a perpetual game, and even if you don't play, you still get like the rewards. I came back and it's like, boom, you suddenly have 140 medals. I'm like,
I had 280.
It's brilliant. What a game.
Yeah, I maxed out the premium pass. Yeah, like the nice. First one that we got when we received our codes. The second premium pass looks mid as some of the guns in that, but I'm rocking this fucking fire shooting shotgun. I'm just like taking out dudes left. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
And like, it's for me, that's like someone with, you know, pretty crippling ADHD. Like, it's tough for me to jump between games. I've got to like kind of sit with one because I know the second I step away from it, like, it's kind of done. Like, as much as I love Infinite Wealth, I think it's done for a while.
Which is kind of why I refuse to start playing Final Fantasy until I saw credits on Infinite Wealth. Because I'm like, I know I'm not coming back to this if I don't see it through now.
Yeah, because like, it's this tough position where, like, you know, I love what I do and I'm no complaining. And like, it's that balance of like, well, how much time is appropriate time, and so on and so on. You know, I always wonder how people rip through as many games as they do, or how many people rack up so many hours in whatever game they're playing, like whether it be Fortnite or, you know, a friend of mine was playing, I played a game of Helldivers with them. I was like level, I don't know, 13, and they're like level 32 or some bullshit.
Then when the PlayStation Wrap rolls around at the end of the year, it's like, oh, I played 3,000 hours of Diablo 2. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, I've somehow put like, well, not somehow, I know exactly how I did it. I've put like 60 hours into Gas Station Simulator. Like, not like, that's collectively over the time I've owned the game, not my recent playthrough. My recent playthrough is most of that. And like, that's, you know, it's one of those things where I guess it's that prioritization. Like, I'm spending time with a game that I probably shouldn't, you know, instead.
Well, I think I've said it in the past on this show, but like, take my Steam log for Final Fantasy 14 online. Yeah, Final Fantasy 14. So this is for my, I think I'm on my like fifth account, and this my playtime's sitting at 1,800 hours.
Yeah, but you've not played that in a while, eh?
I haven't played it in a while. The last time I played it was the 9th of August, 2021. But I've still put 1,800 hours into it, and this is my fifth account. So yeah, they're probably all roughly, you know, good 1,000 hours plus. But I have to get my money's worth. It was a pay to play.
Like, yeah, you most definitely did. I don't know. But yeah, once again, it's tough to balance all those things in the week, and especially yourself now with like two kids and a partner. Like, I've got a partner, my kid comes from
is this just a long-winded segue as to you justifying your purchase this week?
No, which isn't in the room, by the way. I should probably go get that. No, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But it was just kind of something I've been pondering on. I'm like, I feel like I do put like a diehard amount of hours into games, but enough to like put dents in them. But I never feel like I'm actively keeping up. It's kind of crazy.
I started this year strong. I finished like four, I rolled credits on like four games in like the first 2 weeks of the year, and then I think since then I've rolled two more credits.
Well, actually, I haven't even updated my list. I should probably do that, because like I do keep a running tally of like games that I've played. Actually, I've not updated it since I played Last of Us Part 2. I've played a number of games since then. Probably should do that.
I don't have my phone on me with my list.
But yeah, I guess because, you know, sort of the LinkedIn conversation around that, Max, is like, yeah, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been fine. Super over split shifts at work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we booked a holiday this week.
Lovely. We're going away. Where are you going?
I've gone to Phillip Island.
Hey, penguins?
Penguins, koalas, farms. Are you good? Nearly dropped the can. Is this going to explode when I fucking open it?
Oh, hope so. Let's do it. Do it for the vid. Do it for the content. Nah, we're good. Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to Phillip Island. So I'm probably not going to be here that week.
Yeah, when's that?
The weekend of the 19th of next month. So I think it's the 21st. So is the Sunday.
Okay.
2 weeks after Easter.
Sweet. I'll forget.
Right when school comes back, we're going. Oh, okay. So hopefully it won't be as busy. Because we haven't been on a family trip ever.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Because like Hadley was born just before COVID.
Just pre-COVID lockdowns.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys never really done anything, and then you got another little one. You've never gone on a. Oh, actually, no, you haven't. You haven't even gone to visit your parents.
We did with Hadley. We've taken Hadley up. Okay. Like we're visiting one of Ali's family members at the time as well. But there was like that 2 month of COVID freeness.
Yeah.
And we disappeared to Queensland with Hadley, but like, you know, it'll be nice. I mean, I've never been to the Phillip Island. I love penguins. Hadley loves penguins. She's gonna have a blast.
So my mum lives there, and I never go there.
We booked an Airbnb.
Oh, nice.
We're gonna catch the ferry across and the ferry back, because no one wants to drive 3.5 hours.
That's true. Like, so last time I went over, I did also take the ferry, and it was actually a really lovely experience. It was expensive, so I probably wouldn't do it every time. But it was quite nice.
The ferry has gotten so expensive lately. Yeah. So we've got friends over in Sorrento that we used to go like every other visit. We'd go to Sorrento and they'd come to Queenscliff. And it used to be cheap. The other, I think last time mum was down, my sister lives over that way now. So mum was like, hey, do you want to drive me to your sister's place? I'm like, oh, let's catch the ferry. It'll be fun. You know, take an hour off the trip that I don't have to drive. And I looked, and for my car and the two passengers was going to cost us $290 one way. Like, what the fuck? When did
that seems a lot more. Like last time we went was not that.
It turns out that the new ferry station in Queenscliff's been built, so they have to pay back the for their new digs.
That makes sense.
So, fucking expensive.
Yeah, gross. See, it's one of those other things as well. Like, it's cool, but I don't mind driving. Like I said, I went to a wrestling show in Seaford, so I'm based in Geelong, so it's like the other side of Victoria, essentially the other side of the bay. And yeah, that drive was a bastard, but like I liked it because I got to listen to podcasts and, you know.
Well, see, our issue is I like driving. Ali doesn't like me driving, and I get car sick if I'm not driving.
Yeah, and I feel that, yeah.
So I try and just
sleep. So why doesn't Ali like you driving?
Ali prefer when we do family trips, we drive Ali's car because that's where all the car seats are.
Okay.
And Ali just doesn't like people driving her car.
No, I get that. It's a bit precious. I understand. But that's cool. I'm glad you guys are like off doing a trip, which is cool.
I'm gonna go fuck some penguins and.
Oh man! See, there's the thing. So like during lockdown, obviously we couldn't go anywhere. That's when the Phillip Island penguin Maduva started live streaming, like the penguins coming in off the shore. And like, I used to watch a stack of that with my kid and he loved it. And we're like, oh, well, one day we'll go. And then we just never did because I said, my mum lives there and it's just, Because that's the other thing. I can't like go there and just go to the penguins. Like I have to see her. And like, she's my mum. Like I love her and she's fine. It's just effort. It's just so fucking far away. And I don't know. Yeah. But to go alongside what you alluded to before, so one of the things I did in the early days of COVID for no reason, I just thought, why not? I put like $100 into assorted crypto and then I kind of forgot about it. Like I have the app and I check it. I would check it like once every couple of months. I'm like, yeah, what's it doing? So there was one time it was really nice and then one time it was hot shit. And then recently it was really good again. And I was like, fuck, like I was one of those feelings where I'm like, do I take it out? Do I leave it? What do I do? Because I love the idea of watching go up and down. And I always had that anxiety about pulling it out at the wrong time. And next thing you know, it's worth three times as much. So in short, I essentially like...
I said it's about to be.
Well, yeah. So I essentially doubled where it's at, like from what I invested to what was now.
The main thing is you kept it for so long that you're not going to get taxed out the asshole on it.
Yeah. Well, is it? I went from $100 to about $350, right? It's essentially where it was sitting at. So I was like, well, how long can this sit here? Let's do something with it. Like, it is essentially free money in that I forgot about it, so I didn't really account for it in my daily living. So if I use it to buy something, I'm not going to hate myself for it. So I made the decision because, you know, something that I've been wanting to do for a while, and with all my travels and stuff, I did go and pick up the PlayStation Portal, and there's a big reflection of Max. Look at that. You get double Max. Look at that. Boom.
The Coke can's frozen. It's exploding everywhere.
But yeah, so I did pick up the PlayStation Portal. I did have a chat to our good friend Buddy who works at JB Hi-Fi. It helped me out. Took a little bit extra off it as well. But here it is. Boom. The Portal. I dig it. Like, the original principle was, especially off the back of my partner making comments last week, being like, yo, I don't want to just watch you play Gas Station Simulator. And I was like, shit. Because, like, she's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I'm like, damn, I'm going to have to adjust here. I'm going to have to make an accommodation.
7 o'clock. Can you fucking go home, please?
Yeah. And it's like, I have to play Games Review. Can you, like, fuck off? Like, no, I'm never going to do that.
It is done. I don't want to cuddle. Go away.
Like, no, I'm never going to do that, right? And it's just, so like, okay, well, that's work in the middle. Like, I want to take, you know, this could, in theory, be effective when I'm away. Probably not, but we'll try it. But I can also play it here.
On smaller screen.
What was that?
Let me ignore you with a smaller screen.
Yeah, and it's just it's my inability to, like, I don't know, I just things, right? It's just me being me. shout, like, this is a great ADHD device, is all I'm saying. But I'm very lucky in the house that I live in. My internet's pretty fantastic, so I have that high. What is it? HFC, like the HFC? High. Yeah, like the coaxial high fiber cable, whatever it is. So,
I can't believe it's not NBN.
Yeah, I can't believe it's not NBN. It's actually better than the NBN I used to have in my old house. So it's sitting around like, 900 megabits on average, which is fantastic. So in terms of the experience within my house, first, for those that don't know, the Portal is a streaming-only device. It has no local storage, nothing. All it does is replicate your PS5 onto the Portal through the use of the internet. Now, I hardline my console to my modem anyway because I have such sick internet. Why the fuck would I even use Wi-Fi to even remotely degradate that? No chance. Everything that needs to be in this house is cabled because this internet's incredible. So, that was part of the decision. Now, I can play it in bed, I can play it on the shitter, I can play it wherever I want. That was kind of the idea. And that way, Phoebe can watch her things. You know, and I can play my gas station simulator.
She's just sitting there watching maths and you're on fucking...
No, thankfully she's not into those sort of shows. And like her choice of TV is very good. She does have exceptional taste. However, at her core, she is kind of a grandma, watches a lot of ABC, and I can only take so much ABC in my brain.
She's really into the Downton Abbey?
No, she's watching one recently. It wasn't Downton Abbey, but it was in a similar space. What was it?
Handmaid's Tale.
Wasn't Handmaid's Tale. I don't know. It was a bunch of pompous people being pompous. And I'm like, oh, it's one of them old timey. It was one of those, not Pride and Prejudice. There's a woman. She wrote lots of fucking... my brain keeps saying Helen Keller, but it's not Helen Keller because she was blind. She was blind and deaf or whatever. What was it? Hang on. Sanderton, apparently. Sanderton. No idea. Jane Austen, yeah. That's the name, not Helen Keller. She's most definitely not a renowned writer of old-timey romance books. She was just disabled, predominantly. Yeah, so like, that's fine. It's just, it's not quite my wheelhouse. But you know, I will sit and enjoy it, you know, when I can. This allows me to kind of like phase between the two.
It's all right. I was watching. I've been rewatching Breaking Bad. Hang on. I'm on like the penultimate episode, and Ollie's like, "This looks good. I think I should watch this."
Oh my! Are you shitting me? Like, mind you, Breaking Bad.
Like, you turned it off.
Straight up, one of the best shows ever made. And Ali should go watch it by herself and catch up to you because the show is fucking incredible. Then you guys can watch Better Call Saul together.
Well, that's why I'm rewatching this for, because it's been a hot minute since I've seen Breaking Bad and I want to watch Better Call Saul.
We're in the same boat. So Craig the mullet, he and I, we watched Breaking Bad together about a year ago, 2 years ago, before Phoebe came into the picture. So that was our Thursday nights where he and I would have little bro dates and we would watch Breaking Bad together. We did it through lockdown and we watched Sons of Anarchy together. And then we started watching Better Call Saul. And then Phoebe came in and she came part of the clique and she's like, I've never watched any of this shit. So we stopped watching Better Call Saul. And we started playing GM mode instead for whatever. Like, we replaced one real bets and shit with some other real bets and shit. And she was like, yeah, this other bets and shit sounds fine. So that's cool. Better Call Saul is exceptional. I love it. And I do like it. It's a very different show to Breaking Bad. But yeah, fuck, I'm tangenting myself. So with the Portal, I understand, like, if you go out there and you look at the reviews, you see the video impressions or whatever about people that have experienced the PlayStation Portal, a lot of them kind of, they explain that, like, oh, you know, this didn't work or that didn't work. And a lot of it is pretty easily hot fixed. A lot of those things are plug it with a network cable, you wang. You know, have the modem centrally located within your house. Like, there's all these little things you can do to make it work. But it is constantly at the discretion of your internet speed. And thankfully, within the space that I have, it's great. There is most definitely a delay. It's not a lot. We're talking like, I don't know, 0.3 of a second, perhaps. Like, if you can sort of, it's visible. And like, if you put the cutscene on the Portal and on the TV, there is like the split second where the TV is faster than the device. Nothing too detrimental. I wouldn't play a lot of Twitch shooters on here. Like Helldivers is an example. It's something that I probably wouldn't really mess with just because you want that quick response time. But for games that I have been playing on there, like I even played MLB on it this week, which we'll talk about a little bit for what I can. The reaction times needed to hit the ball, probably not the best for the portal. But I played some wrestling in there. I played WWE on there. It was fine. I've been playing Persona 4 Golden on there because it is kind of just a fancy Vita that I can play in my house. I did play some Gas Station Simulator on there too because that was the goal and it runs pretty fantastic. Like, I'm not having a lot of issues with it in the same way that other people have. I understand that I am out of that normal in general, just me as a person, but also in terms of my circumstance. I am curious to see what it's like if I step outside of my house, if I go to somebody else's house, or if I take it and use shitty hotel Wi-Fi. I'm going to Brisbane in 2 weeks for work, so I'll take it with me. I'll see how that goes. It's simple, it's straightforward. You just link it and it works, and you go boom, and it's all the issues that I had with using remote play on my phone, which was I can't use my phone when I'm playing it. The screen is tiny. The backbone thumbsticks are shitty. Like, the backbone as a concept is great, but those little itty bitty thumbsticks, kind of like the Switch ones, are poo, and they don't have the accuracy or the feel that the actual DualSense does. And with the portal just being a DualSense split in half with a tablet smashed in it, it does feel a lot better to play. I'm curious to see, at some point I might try reach out to PlayStation and be like, yo, that Pulse Elite headset, can we fuck with it? So I'm curious to see how it sounds as well, from an audio delay aspect as well, because the speakers on it are pretty fine. It sounds great. It's a little tinny, but it's not exceptional, but it is the drivers in there are tiny because of the size of the damn device. But the screen is beautiful. I believe it's OLED. Like, the blacks are fantastic. The colors really pop. The HDR is incredible. The rumble feels awesome. It's kind of all the best things about the PlayStation 5 experience in a somewhat restricted portable setup. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. Do you have any questions about the portal, Max, while I check the chat?
No, you've pretty much covered most of the things that that need to be covered, I think. Especially considering the fact that you haven't gone like outside of your own home network to test it yet.
That's true, yeah. So MGB in the chat says, the portal is a cool idea, although the network connection is going to make it tricky for when you want to use it on the go. Absolutely. And that is the major hindrance of it compared to, say, any other portable device. But once again, it depends. It's primary function is within the own home. It appears that way. So in the same way that a surprising number of individuals that own a Switch play it portably even when at home. So PlayStation clearly saw the data around how portable consoles are used and thought it would be handy to deliver in the house. Let's see. Can't hit all the beats. MGB mentioned I've got to get started watching Succession. Succession is a show I've heard incredible things of, and I haven't watched it yet. Beautiful. That kind of hits all those beats. But yeah, I'm keen for it. I'll fuck with it a bit more. I do have an unboxing video, and I will have like a specific review video for it. I'm just spending a bit more time with it, and then I'm going to tinker it. I'm going to do some shooting around the house and stuff, and have some fun with it. Should be exciting. But that's about, like, I've been talking about what I've been playing on, but let's get into what we have been playing. Now, I've been talking for a long window of time, as I tend to do. So, Max, it is now your time. The answer is Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Yeah, all I've been playing is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So, I am now significantly further in. I am playing completely different than how I started. So when I first started Rebirth, I spoke about it last week, they kind of Ubisoft tower you, and then it pings all the areas around you of all the mini games and all the side missions and all the things you could do. In the first area, I 100% completed it and then moved on. I'm now getting to the point where I've realized that you can't do everything until you hit some of the story beats to unlock the rest of the map.
Oh, no.
Because in a lot of the later stages, the maps are kind of cut in half and you have to beat story beats until you can unlock the whole map.
Mm.
So the first thing I do when I go into every zone is I ping as many towers as I possibly can. So I have everything open for me, ready to go. And then if I can, I hit all of the primal stones, which are the things that allow you to upgrade your summon materia. Mm-hmm. So in each new region, Chadley, the guy who creates the materia for you, goes, "Hey, you're in a new fucking region. I'll make you a new summon. Let's go."
Chadley, the almost name of your child.
Yes.
Tried really hard.
They try really hard. So the first thing I do is do those, because there's three essentially altars that you have to kind of link to. Mm-hmm. And then as you hit all three, you kind of level up that materia. It gets new abilities when you summon it and all that fun stuff. It also goes the other way of the more you sync to that summon, the easier the fight will be in the training simulator to acquire the material. So it's a double-edged, it's worthwhile doing, because it makes the fight easier and it also strengthens it. So that's the first thing I do when I hit every region. Now I'm kind of just hitting the story beats, and I've realized that I'm probably just going to have to go back and do stuff as I finish, which is fun. And some of the areas I have found to be a slog. So one of the areas you go to here is Gongaga, which is a fairly small area in the original game. It's literally this tiny little blip on the world map. Here, it's this big open world bullshit forest of traps and mazes, and I didn't like it. It looks fantastic, but to navigate to where I needed to go was such a pain in the ass most of the time. I found it a very tedious area. So in the original Final Fantasy VII, one of the big things were, across all Final Fantasies, has been chocobos, which are those gigantic chickens that you can ride on. Mm-hmm. In 7, they had different colors, and different colors could do different things. So I think blues could cross water, greens could climb over mountaintops, gold could fly and do all the other fun stuff. So they've got that here. So in Gongaga, you get the green chocobo, but it doesn't run over mountains. It allows you to jump off gigantic toadstools that kind of fling you across the jungle of bullshittery. So you kind of have to navigate around jumping and hopping through all these gigantic mushrooms to kind of get to where you needed to go. It's very confusing. It looked gorgeous, but it kind of got tedious by the end of it, of trying to navigate through. The world map's not great at showing like the kind of path you need to take to get to where you need to go. Mm-hmm. To hit all the towers and all that fun stuff. The changes that they've made as a story point of view from the original to here to kind of make this new storyline, new timeline make sense, are absolutely fantastic. I just finished chapter 10, which is set in Cosmo Canyon. So Cosmo Canyon in the original game is very early on, and it kind of sets you up with the big whole story of like, this is our planet. This is what the life stream does to our planet. If that was to disappear, that the whole world would be destroyed. And it kind of goes through and kind of lays out the big picture plan of what's happening. And it looked like, I mean, the game came out in 1997. They were all blocky figures. They looked ridiculous. They were trying to show like this cool space universe, like augmented reality layout that you were standing in the observatory.
Mm.
And seeing that here now in the brand new graphics, where you know it actually looks good, was amazing. Like, that's what I kind of remember it looking like.
Okay, yeah, okay.
To see it here now actually like that, it was awesome. So yeah, I've been having an absolute blast with it. I'm still, you know, getting through as much as I can with the side quests and stuff. They are helpful. It does introduce a lot of new characters, or at least fleshes out their story and character a little bit more, which is absolutely fantastic. Queen's Blood is still a time sink for me, which is the new card game that they introduced. In Cosmo Canyon, I spent a lot of time... you get flying chocobos in the canyon. And there's a bunch of mini games where you have to fly around and pop balloons and fly through targets. And I'm like, yeah, this is my jam. I'm just gonna do this for a while. So I'm still doing a lot of the side stuff, which is fun. Yeah, the story changes have been great. I'm really enjoying them. And I think I'm getting nearest to the end. As far as I'm aware, I think there's 14 chapters again.
Mm-hmm.
My playtime is sitting at about 45 hours at the moment. Now, granted, I haven't 100%ed every area yet, so I've still got a fair bit to go back and do. But I'm certainly not golden pathing it either, so it's meaty. It's been good.
Is it living up to the expectations of you as a Final Fantasy VII fan?
I am enjoying this more than I enjoyed Remake.
Ooh, how so?
But that's due to the fact that there's more to explore. Like, Remake is just in Midgar. Like, it's a very self-contained little thing. Whereas this, although it's not a true open-world game, they're open zones. And then you kind of, once you go to the next zone, you just open up that map. Mm. So it's not completely open-world in the way that the original game was, where you kind of just... You can get in your plane and just fuck off. You can't quite do that. But yeah, it is good. I'm very thoroughly enjoying it. Like I said, the changes that they've made are very fascinating and interesting. So yeah, it's been good.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to seeing where and how they end this one. Because I honestly don't know anymore. I thought I knew exactly where it was going to happen, and I don't think it's going to be that.
Have you passed that point?
No. I'm heading towards that point now.
Okay.
And I have a feeling with how far I've still got to go, it may not be that point.
Interesting.
Cool. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do and what they change, because there's been some crazy changes that I did not see coming, and I'm like, whoa, that's intense.
Nice. So, that's good. Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I know the expectations for yourself are quite high with Final Fantasy, as you know, being very close to home for you. One of your
I mean, the team's nailed it so far. So,
good. Is there anything?
I mean, I played a little bit more of Thingo. We can say we've been playing.
Rise of the Ronin. Yes, that was the thing I was going to say.
I've been playing a little bit more Rise of the Ronin. Not as much as I should have been, but that's all I can say about it.
Yeah, we can't talk more anymore about Rise of the Ronin. Our full review will be dropping as at 10 p.m. on 10 p.m. the 21st of March. However, you can go check out our preview video. It is on this YouTube channel. It is on this podcast feed. Go have a listen. We discussed about the first hour and a half, essentially, of Rise of the Ronin. But yeah, we'll leave that discussion there.
The last thing is, as you mentioned before, shout out to PlayStation Australia for providing us the code. I'm playing MLB The Show on Xbox.
Yeah. So that was a ton of fun. So well, let's get into that, because we can talk about it now, because the game is pretty much out.
All I've done is installed it. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to play it.
So big thank you to the team at PlayStation Australia for providing us, as the Ruka, as Max said. So most people may or may not know, I back in the day, I was a huge baseball fan. Like, I have been playing baseball games since MLB The Show 12. So 2012, about 12 years. Holy crap. So when the email came through this week, been like, yo, are you guys, wanting to play MLB, like, you're going to cover it? I'm like, yeah. So I was having a chat with a good friend of the show, Paul James from Player 2. So he and I will be doing some combined review content for Player 2. We'll be maybe doing a review chat and maybe some written stuff as well. That's going to be fun for me. I haven't written stuff down properly in ages. My entire day job is writing stuff. So I don't know what I'm talking about. But I didn't check out last year. I didn't check out MLB The Show 23. Short answer was, I think there was like two codes provided to all of Australia, so I didn't make the cut. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I think a bunch of other games came out. I was like, I'll get back to it. And then I just didn't. a lot of the same things that you've experienced previously in MLB The Show is here, whether it be Road to the Show, which is their campaign. You have like Diamond Dynasty. You have their version of like factions. And I think Diamond Dynasty is their card equivalent. They have a factions mode where you create a team and you run it. You've got like a story mode. This year, they're talking about two things in particular. They're talking about the rise of women playing baseball, as well as, it feels weird saying it, the Negro League. So it's back in the... It feels so weird saying that as a white person. So there was this league back in the day that was, you know, went during the whole... I'm going to say the racism time, but it's still kind of now. In the more predominantly racist time of, you know, the colored individuals were given their own stands, their own seats, or not even allowed entirely. So a sort of sub-league was created, and they talk about some of the most prolific baseball players to ever play from that league. These are individuals that, had they been able to play in what was the MLB at the time, would have just smashed it. So hearing those stories is really cool. Is that I have been out of the loop on baseball for a while. I used to watch it mostly when I would work late shifts, especially my time at McDonald's, because with it all happening in the US, all the games happened at like 2 a.m. or whatever. So it would kind of bum me when I would wake up and then the result would be known. I'd go, oh, well, why am I going to watch the game if I know the result? So once my day transitioned to, you know, standard daylight hours, I kind of fell away. I did follow it in general. Like, I'm still a Detroit Tigers fan. You know, I made the decision X amount of years ago based off one player named Prince Fielder. And that will stay true with me. And when I do jump into MLB The Show, my goal is to always be the major league shortstop for the Detroit Tigers. Good old Ryan Betson, number 17. I don't know why I pick 17. It's the number I always pick. And I do love, and I do always compliment MLB for having the best creator or player creator, custom creator, whatever the hell you want to call it, mode for me and my head, because my face, body, and just exist and figure is so baseball player, right? The problem with like MLB The Show, the problem with WWE 2K or NBA 2K or any of those other sports games, like most of them are kind of like jacked, chiseled dudes and whatever. And like the best thing, the beauty of baseball is most people kind of look like shit.
In NBA 2K.
Was that?
I can't even set my height in NBA 2K because the shortest player is taller than me.
Yeah, exactly. See, this is where MLB The Show is going to be incredible for you, Max, is you can make you, in your height, in your circumference, every part of you can be matched into that game. Because, like, in terms of my build, like, I got dad bod to the max, right? And, like, that's what most baseball players look like. It's weird because they're all got, like, tank legs, but they're all got, like, pot bellies and, you know, it's exactly us. It's incredible. So the best renditions of me in a game have only ever come from MLB The Show. I'm very happy to be playing it today. And the fun part is it gives me another excuse to info dump on my poor partner. So like, because she's never watched baseball in her life, never really cared about it. I'm like, well, you still don't care about it, but I'm going to tell you about it because I'm that kind of guy. So here's all the here's all useless information about baseball and the facts and the numbers and what it all means. And she's like, yeah, Ryan, sure. Wow. Oh,
you moneyballing her?
Not quite. The great movie, by the way. I've been wanting to watch that again recently. Yeah, she's like, yeah. Oh, what's that number? Oh, she's panning to me beautifully, and I really appreciate it because I know she doesn't care, but I can't help it. It's an impulse. I just have to get it out, and she understands that. But I'm really excited to play it. It's fantastic. It's great. There are moments where I find myself going, this doesn't look as good as I remember it. From at least a couple of years ago, I remember booting it up and I'm like, it looks like I'm watching the TV. It looks like I'm watching a live MLB broadcast. And there are moments where the game delivers that, like, that level of quality look now, mostly when you're playing any of those big teams in those key stadiums. So like the game that I was playing before we started recording the show tonight, I played Detroit Tigers versus the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park. Fenway Park, one of the most iconic like baseball stadiums to ever exist. So very, you know, it looks immaculate. The players look great. Not as good. Like, I feel a couple of years ago, they looked almost photorealistic in similarity. Where this year, at least from my initial plays, I'm going, it's just not quite there. But that could also be rose tinted glasses from a number of years ago. But what I have, what I'm most excited about is, you know, I talked about this a lot when I saw, all the time, mostly. So I never truly understood sports until I got into professional wrestling, because I was able to finally comprehend a lot of the things that pull people into sports. It's the community aspect, it's the fun of the athleticism, it's the number, you know, at least for me, it's the numbers, it's the unreasonable analysis, all those things. Was it, sorry?
What?
The streakers do help. They do help. You know, maybe that. I think there is a similarity there. There's a lot of half naked people in wrestling. A lot of streakers in the baseball.
I'm just gonna go on a tangent here, real quick. Did you see the guy who won massively on his bet at the Super Bowl?
No.
He bet that there was going to be a streaker,
and he was the streaker. Yeah,
and then he streaked himself and paid a $1,000 fine. Walked away with like $300,000.
So coming into this now, and also diving deeper into the other parts of WWE 2K24, like their trading card version, their, you know, My Gym, all those little things that I'm now loving a lot more, I'm hoping to translate that into MLB as well. I want to check out their like fantasy part. I want to check out their version of Ultimate Team and like their little trading card game. Like, it seems dangerous to me because I'm probably going to get really into it again, but I kind of am really excited to like fuck with it, which is awesome. And once again, it's picking a game that doesn't have an end, which is dumb, because I'm like, at the start of this show, we talked about how I'm just not rolling enough credits on games for whatever reason. And it's because I'm playing bullshit games like this that don't have endings. I'm just keep playing until I get bored, which is really, it's tough. But yeah, I'm really excited about MLB The Show. I'm enjoying with my time with it. I do feel I'm going to tinker with it a lot and probably play quite a bit of it. Like, absolutely. Doing a quick look at what I've also been playing this week. That is kind of about it, really. One thing I can talk about, though, I can't, you know, in terms of a scored review, I can't do that. We don't do score reviews anyway, so it's fine. Is, as I mentioned, Gas Station Simulator, a game that I utterly adore for whatever reason. It's just the repetitive tedium that is running a gas station in a digital place. They have a DLC coming in the near future called Tidal Wave that essentially takes everything about Gas Station Simulator and puts it in a tropical island. So no longer you're on the dusty roads of Route 66, you are now on this tropical island. I assume it's Hawaii, because your gas station is named Aloha. So yeah, they've changed a couple things. No longer is there a customer satisfaction meter, you know, where customers are happy, so you get a percentage and whatever. Instead, you now have this giant volcano called Crunchamunchu, who inhabits the island, and he is the one that dictates the level of happiness in the island. So you appease him by doing good consumerism, and then he won't vomit lava everywhere and fuck up your day. They've taken away a lot of the barriers that would previously exist. Pardon me, and that, you know, certain things won't unlock unless you get to certain levels, and you have to achieve these objectives before you can get to that. Like, that, some of those things are gone. That, you know, the major objective of the campaign, quote unquote, would be, you know, do this, do that, have this many customers in your fuel station, serve this many customers at your register, you know, have this many people use your toilets, see people use your shower or your scuba equipment, and it doesn't, like, some of those things. Was it, sorry?
Fucking strangest gas station
ever. It's a weird gas station. It's a whole thing. So there's that. And previously would be like, well, you can't get the scuba stuff yet because your gas station isn't level 3. So that's not going to be your list of priorities. So instead, like, it just, so you just, you can kind of go at your own pace. You can focus on the part to the station that you want to, rather than being required to do this part, then the car wash, then the warehouse. Like, the base game does set it up in a way that it tells you exactly the steps at which you need to do to progress. Where here you can kind of play a bit fast and loose with it in that, like, well, I don't really want to prioritize this. I want to prioritize that because there's good return on investment over here. Then example is, you know, the fuel is pretty efficient. Like, you get kind of good money back, but the mechanics is where you get your most amount of return because people pay stupid amounts of money to get their tires replaced, et cetera, et cetera. Where, you know, in I think there is an update now where you can adjust the pricing, so you can create variable pricing on your items, but most of them tend to stay standard. So your in-store selling, whether, you know, your drinks, your booze, your cigarettes, your hats, your sunnies, all the random shit you can sell in your gas station, doesn't have the same amount of money. So you would want to focus on those different parts. Reverend Puck says, now there's Supermarket Simulator. I have also been playing that this week too. So I'm that kind of guy. But yeah, so that DLC is currently available only on the PC. The console is consistently behind. About a month ago, we just got the DLC for the car wash, for the airport, which was released on PC like a year and a half ago. So who knows when Tidal Waves come into consoles, but it is available on PC anytime soon. I'm tinkering about with it. There is that Let's Play on the channel. I enjoyed making it. No one's watching it, which is expected because our channel hasn't done Let's Plays in quite a while. But if you are interested, go check it out. I would like, well, both Max and I are keen to do some more Let's Plays. I know you've got a Ronin one in the works. We'll see what we can do about bringing that side of little extra content to help supplement outside of just the regular weekly show. I think that hits everything that we have been playing this week. So, Max, let's get on the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation an hour later. Holy shit.
Well, these are the extra and premium games coming to your PlayStation 5 this Tuesday. For extra titles, we have NBA 2K24 coming to PS4, PS5. Marvel's Midnight Suns, PS4, PS5. Resident Evil 3, what a banger, PS4, PS5. Lego DC Super Villains, PS4. Mystic Pillars Remastered, PS5. Blood Bowl 3, yeah. PS4, PS5. Super Neptunia RPG, PS4, and Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, PS5. Your premium titles are Jak and Daxter, The Lost Frontier on PSP, Cool Borders, PS1, Gods Eater Burst, PSP, Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney Trilogy, PS4, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R, PS4, PS5. I feel like that's a shorter list than usual.
It is a shorter list, but it's actually a pretty good...
I mean, NBA is a pretty good grab, considering the fact that it's the new one. Resident Evil 3, great. Marvel's Midnight Suns was pretty good. I enjoyed my time with it. Blood Bowl 3 is hilarious.
See, yeah, look.
Fantasy football, the fantasy football, the game.
Oh, it's so good. Like, it's one of those things where everyone's like, Blood Bowl is fantasy football in the truest sense, as in it's fantasy, as in it's orcs versus elves, and people fucking die. And because at its core, NFL, gridiron, whatever you want to call it, is just fancy chess. And like they've replicated that in Blood Bowl, because Blood Bowl is a Warhammer spin-off minis game, like a tabletop game. It's fucking awesome. I love that. Like, I love the playing the tabletop version of it, and I love the digital. I really enjoyed Blood Bowl 2 back in the day. Because, yeah, it's incredible. Like, rather than just tackling someone, like, you will fuck them up, and, like, they're out. Like, and if the other team, like, too many people die, they forfeit the game. So, like, you either can properly try to score, or you can just maim everyone. Game's brilliant. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. Pardon me, comes out at a really good time. Good-ish time, you know, with the passing of Akira Toriyama. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot kind of lets you play all the story.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, in a lot more in an in-depth way, like, than not just the fights is what it's done in the past. Where this is also the PS5 version. The PS4 version has previously been part of PS Plus before, but it's now that they're giving it the... the PS5. Like, they're making the PS5 one readily available. And as Mute does mention in the chat, it is just the Dragon Ball Z saga. It doesn't touch Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball GT, or I guess Kai is Z, but kind of not. Interesting one I also like is Marvel's Midnight Suns. That's a really cool, as I said, it's the Marvel Crisis Protocol, which is the minis game that I play, that I love. I haven't played in a very long time, but digitally, in the same way the Blood Bowl is a really cool tabletop game on a console or on a PC. It's awesome. Interesting that we've got a couple of PS1 titles with Jak and Daxter. So I believe from what I was once again listening to a podcast this week, that Jak and Daxter, the Lost Frontier is the last Jak and Daxter game ever made. Cool Borders is all right. I remember playing Cool Borders 2 the most because it was on the demo 1 disc that I got with my PlayStation. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney has been around forever. It's a remake and it's now available. I found out this week, Max, same podcast. This PlayStation podcast is okay, but if you want a really good one, go check out Sacred Symbols. It's incredible. They were discussing that the reason that there is such a trickle of old games on the part of the premium is it's one dev team that is porting all of it. And I forget their name, but like every release that has come through premium that is an old PS1 game or PSP game, Vita ported, they have done it.
Fuck's sake.
So, like, it's really impressive that one team is doing it and they've been able to do it. But also, why the fuck is only one team doing it? Why? It's crazy. And look, PlayStation have plenty of teams. Well, kind of. So there was a time, you know, we discussed last week with some of the layoffs the PlayStation have done. They closed Sony London as well as laid off a bunch of people. So it appears that in the background, PlayStation was also severing second party relationships as well. I mean, especially with the talks of Deviation Games. And I felt that we were talking about them semi-recently.
Probably.
Because there was a bunch of layoffs and stuff on that sort of stuff. But look, let's just move a bit further. So it's especially difficult to cultivate new studios, Max writes, regardless of whether they're founded by veterans with insane talent, like ex-Treyarch veterans Jason Blundell and Dave Anthony, which we'll be talking about shortly as part of the quick bits. There was a lot of excitement around Deviation Games when the duo announced that it had established a new team and immediately entered into a relationship with PlayStation. But the company has been closed and the project is dead. So this came at the same time as they announced Haven and that they were working alongside Firewalk. Both Haven and Firewalk were shortly announced after to become first party studios. So it was kind of drawn preemptively that there may have been a problem, a Deviation not being connected to at that time. But Christy Stull shared the sad news on LinkedIn the last week, which has since been confirmed by several ex-staffers. On the plus side, the firm will be holding a networking event to help those affected by the outcome to find new employment. Quote, "It is with a heavy heart that we announce the closure of Deviation Games." Stoll, who was the head of human resources and chief COO, the chief operations officer, said in a public post, "I want to express my deepest gratitude to our entire team. Thank you for all your hard work, dedication, and contributions to Deviation. I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to have worked with each and every one of you." End quote. Deviation Games was founded in 2021 and was said to be working on an ambitious new IP, although we never really found out much about it or what it would be at all, really. Blundell said on the project, so Blundell, as we mentioned earlier, Jason Blundell, ex-Treyarch, it kind of led to believe that the Deviation were working on potentially like a first-person shooter. But yeah, so they've come out and said, "We're not afraid to say that our ambitions are super high, but we're setting out to make a huge content-rich game with a focus on a lot of action and a lot of energy. But let's leave it at that for now, and hopefully it won't be long before we can share more." This is what they said about the project previously. However, that never came to be. I think what we reported on semi-recently was when Blundell left Deviation, and now he's actually employed within PlayStation Direct, and appears to be heading up another team of a lot of ex-Deviation individuals. So has there been some sort of issues within Deviation and PlayStation, but what they were kind of working on may have been intriguing enough for them to take some key workers and build it internally. How do you see this, Max?
It's a weird spot. I personally don't know much about it. I haven't looked much into it. I remember there was a time, I think it was Blundell and someone else, they were essentially looking at making a standalone Call of Duty, like essentially a standalone Call of Duty Zombies game.
Yes, yes.
By the ex-makers of, I believe, I can't think of the guy's name, but he was with Infinity Ward and he moved to Treyarch. So he'd been making Call of Duty games for ages, and then he was like, we were going to do a standalone Zombies thing, and then it never came to be. It sucks that, you know, as a studio who's been around for, what, 2.5 years, 3 years, to not even be able to put out their first piece of, you know, their first work before the studio gets shut down. It must be... it's just one of those things of like, you know, if they were partnered with PlayStation, did they not budget their time well? Did they not budget their what they were given to work with well? Like, how crazy of a dev cycle were they looking at to get something out before they could, you know what I mean? It must be a very rough situation, especially for. You know, a lot of these new studios are closing down before they even release their first thing. And, you know, you look at the new studios who have released something, going back to, who was it that released?
What, Callisto?
No, that the EA title last year.
Immortals of Avium, Avalanche.
Avalanche, with Immortals of Avium. You know, they had such high hopes for it, and then it kind of just, unfortunately, they didn't see the sales that they were expecting to see, and you know, now they've kind of disappeared into the sunset, which is a shame. And it must be so hard for you know, it seems to not matter how big a name or how high the pedigree is of people making these studios, in this current climate, it seems like they're all doomed to fail.
Yeah, look, it's a difficult...
It's a very horrible way to look at it.
No, it
seems to be what happens, though.
You are kind of correct. Like, the challenge that I see here is there are some individuals that when you see their name connected to a project, you go, ooh. You know, an example would be Ken Levine, pardon me, as an example. Blundell is one of those people. And you go, oh, this individual is part... another one is what Stig... whatever we called him Stigmatism in our group chat. But yeah, you know, he's off making new shit. We'll talk about that. Like, there are particular names that stand out that you go, oh, I'm curious to see what they're doing. But when I hear about this new studio that's being created by this, you know, the producer of blah, 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 like, it makes me feel like all those really shitty, scary movies. Style movies, like from the producer of Scary Movie 2 comes a shitty film, and I always like it doesn't have that impact for me at all. Like, it's not going, ooh, from the writers of bleh, so I it doesn't have that appeal for me for when these new studios come into place. For me, it's proof in the pudding, right? Like, if you deliver on it and it's awesome, then not that I'm some tastemaker in what I have to say matters, but like, then you get my attention. So with Deviation Games, they forced us to give them their attention, right? In the same way that you know, because they came out at the Game Awards and said, we're working on this thing with PlayStation. They took time at the Game Awards on stage to announce that they're working on this thing, and then it doesn't happen. So knowing that, then you also know that Blundell is now part of PlayStation specifically in quite likely this secret sort of team with a bunch of Deviation employees there. That tells me that there is some sort of systemic or cultural problem within Deviation Games that they simply could not work with. Whether it be the team were incapable of delivering it in the time frame they wanted, the way they wanted, there's something. Like, or they just refuse to work within the greater culture of PlayStation because there's a second party, you know, it presumably PlayStation owned the IP or whatever, and they went, all right, you'll can the project, we're bringing it over here. In the same way that, you know, I think Destruction All-Stars is a second party IP, mm-hmm. and that was worked within, what, Lucid, and then it went somewhere else, and then they're like, nah. Because Lucid were going to be working on Twisted Metal, and they went, yeah, nah, Destruction All-Stars was kind of poo, we're pulling that from you, and then they couldn't get it back off the ground. So it makes me wonder, and whether we'll ever hear the other side of it, who knows, but I do want to know what that melting pot is for them to not even be given the chance to release their first title. You'd at least, you know, because you can't determine a studio's worth or capability until they release something, truly. So there is something, there is a poison in that well, there is something in there that caused them to pull it down. Tinfoil hat time, Max.
Tinfoil hat time. All right. Let's talk about some firmware updates.
Exciting.
So following just over a month of beta testing, Sony has now rolled out the latest PlayStation 5 firmware update to all. It is now available to download. Here, as per the PlayStation blog, are all the new features that were included. We have controller speaker enhancements. The controller speakers can now produce higher volume sound, because that's what we all wanted.
Yeah.
Allowing you to hear in-game sounds and voice chat audio way more clearly through your DualSense controller. I don't think I've ever had the fucking speaker turned on. It was the first thing I turned off.
I have it on, and like if it's around clarity, sick. If it's just volume, fuck that. Like, because it is kind of a not very good speaker, so like adding more volume to it just makes the distortion louder. And like there are some games where it's kind of cool, like once again playing MLB The Show, like the speaker will when you have all the crowd noise, obviously
you jackass.
Yeah. Yeah, better. But you hear, so there's a coach on the third base who is the one that tells you when to run or whatever, like in a standard baseball game. So you're hearing them. You're also hearing the catcher, sort of the ref behind you, being like, you know, 1-3, you know, ball, you know, the two strikes, you know, like you hear that in the controller because you're in, like it does help that atmosphere of you're there and they're right around you, which is kind of cool. But just more volume ain't good.
Improved noise cancellation. So the mic input quality on these controllers has been improved courtesy of a new AI machine learning model. Background noise from button presses and game audio are suppressed, resulting in a better voice chat experience for all those people using voice chat with their controller.
Oh, AI! People really need to change how they speak about AI, because this is what AI has been doing for years.
Players watching share screen in full screen mode can now use pointers and emoji reactions to interact with their host's gameplay.
I have never used that feature.
I use share play all the time.
I know I did it with you when I was like, hey, I'm stuck in Prince of Persia, help me out. And you're like, you shit, this is what you do.
And then I went, it won't work because the game's not released yet.
Yeah, oh yeah, the game's like, yeah, so I had to like video call you because it was just poo. But yeah, so you use it all the time? How so?
A friend of the show, Zell, he likes just being in chat and not necessarily playing games. So he'd be like, hey, what are you playing? Like, nothing. He's like, have you got, obviously we don't, he was watching me play Final Fantasy the other day. He's like, damn, that looks good. I'm like, yeah, it does.
Cause it is.
Looks real good. Yeah. And that's through streaming through my console. So yeah, or if I'm playing like Dark Souls or Bloodborne or... He watched almost all of my gameplay of Elden Ring when I played Elden Ring, and sometimes
it's like a one person Twitch stream.
Yeah, a one person Twitch stream with no delay.
Well, that's great because like we predominantly do a one person Twitch stream anyway, except for this stream, there's a handful of people. Thank you, love you.
You can now adjust the brightness of your PlayStation 5 console's power indicator.
Well, you can turn the beep down. You can turn the light down. You can finally game in secret.
Unicode 15.1 emoji is now supported. You can now use them in all messages.
Don't care.
The DualSense and DualSense Edge controllers were updated, as well as the PlayStation VR2 headset, VR2 Sense controllers, and the Access controller, all to improve stability.
Sweet.
They have once again improved the system software performance and stability, because it's not a firmware update without that. We've improved the messages and usability on some screens. Additionally, later this month, a PlayStation app update will enable users to enjoy share screen interaction on the app as well.
That's dope. If they can find a way to connect PlayStation Stars to your actual console, that would be double dope. Because
you know what would be good? Just assume that I want to be signed up for all the fucking things running on PlayStation Stars. I shouldn't have to be like, oh, I'll do this one. Just fucking assume that I'm going to do all of them. And then if I don't do them, I don't do them. But don't punish me for doing one, but going, oh, shit, I forgot to activate that one. Just give it to me.
Actually, I'm gonna do a quick see if there's a opt-in setting. Oh, look, there's even one for MLB The Show. Just play the game. I've been playing it all afternoon.
But you didn't opt in.
That's true. But I want my digital bat.
It's the same. Oh, for what? Final
there's
Fantasy.
A PlayStation Portal one.
Ah, you didn't opt in.
Oh, I still got 624 days left on it. Wait, what? That's many days.
It's because they know you have to save up for 624 days to play.
Oh, that's pretty handy, though, because, you know, if they lock that in now and it's like, oh, cool, you know, you can unlock this cool thing in 600-something days, it's pretty helpful, Max, because rumor has it that PS4 Pro might be rocking up in that time.
PS5 Pro.
What I say, PS4 Pro. PS4 Pro. Which is inconvenient because that already exists. The PS5 Pro, on the other hand. Okay. So, Max, the heavily rumored PS5 Pro will feature a GPU upgrade, apparently, of up to 3 times faster than your current PS5. Allegedly. So Insider Gaming and YouTuber Moore's Law is Dead states that the PS5 Pro documents were posted to Sony's developer portal and screenshots we chuckled about.
Oh, Ali just fucking ran past me with pancakes and ice cream.
What a bum.
And I'm like, no, I don't want fucking pancakes and ice cream. Thank you very much.
What a poo.
I know, right?
pancakes
too.
Yeah. Screenshots have been shared with them that suggest the upgraded console will deliver significant improvements over the original system. The PS5 has access to 10.28 teraflops of graphical power, but it's been reported the PS5 Pro will have more than triple that at 33.5 teraflops.
Woo. All the floppage.
Which, you know, back on at the time, you know, teraflops mean a whole bunch of nothing, really. It's potential. But, you know, the Xbox Series X has the potential for awesome teraflops, but if only it had games.
I wonder what that you've half eaten.
Oh, she's giving you leftovers now.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's marriage. That's lovely, right?
I'll have some when I'm finished here. It'd be rude to eat pancakes and ice cream in front of everyone.
So that quote works out to be 45% rendering performance improvement over the PS5, end quote. Then, the PS5 Pro will offer 3 times as much ray tracing performance, all those reflections, and in some cases 4 times as much, while also utilizing the PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution system. Rumors suggest that this is machine learning technology for image upscaling. So first-party developers under the PlayStation Studios banner have reportedly had access to the PS5 Pro dev kits since October of 23, while third-party teams received them roughly 2 months ago. From the spring, that's the US spring, so our autumn, it's said that these dev kits will be identical to the model Sony plans to ship in the public, so in the coming months. Of the dev kit shit, not the fucking full release. Insider Gaming understands Sony is targeting a holiday 2024 launch, but there's a chance, quote, the date could be changed due to the lack of first-party games release on PS5 this year. Sony is yet to confirm or even hint at the existence of a PS5 Pro, but following confident reporting from multiple sources over the past year or so, it certainly seems like the hardware manufacturer has an upgraded PS5 model in the works.
This fucker's launching with GTA 6.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Like, there's your time. Once again, with the lack of first-party releases this year, as we kind of know, they pretty much front-loaded the year with them. With MLB, woo. But also Helldivers, Last of Us Part 2. There's not much for the rest of the year. Wolverine's next year at best.
Excuse me.
And unless something drops secretly, it's one of those things. Now, the challenge that I have, Max, I just bought a Slim. So am I going to buy a Pro? Probably not. and we've discussed that, you know, you have no interest in a pro. But if I can get better frames consistently...
That's the thing. Am I going to get better frames? Am I going to... Is it going to fuck the performance mode off? And is it just going to get rid of performance and fidelity mode and just be like... It's just one mode. You now get 4K 60. Yeah. Congratulations.
It's one mode and it's awesome.
Yeah.
That's it.
But that's not the case. I'm still going to, like... You know, I got a real concern about Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it runs at an uncapped 30 frames on average at about 24.
Rad.
There is no performance mode. There is one mode only. It's that mode.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand, you know, I'm not a game developer. I don't know what goes into it, but I don't understand how you can't, at this point in this day and age, give us a stable frame rate, whether that be 30 or 60.
And it's one of those things as well, like that a standard has been established that 30 at like 1080 should be fucking achievable. And if you then bump it up, like, or 1080 60 should be the fucking bare minimum. Or if you really want to, 1440 at 60, like, because that way you get the benefits of what of a close upscaled up, you know, 4K would look fantastic. Or if you do have those variable refresh rates, that 45, which is still not the best, that bumps it, so it allows you to cap at 120 really well. But the answer should be 1080p 60 is your minimum. If you're releasing a game from fucking 2023 onwards, yes, it's 2024, you should be doing that as your bare fucking minimum. Like, 4K 30 is okay. Like, I could work with that. That's your minimum if you want 4K. But we're at a point where 60 is what it should be.
And then they're like, oh, you know, this box will be able to do 8K. I'm like, the box on my PS5 says 8K. The box on my PS5 says 8K. Like, but it's irrelevant because no one's making anything for it.
Well, that's the thing.
That,
like, the teraflops is like, it's, and the same when they talk about, like, the AK, right? It's the potential of the unit.
I can play 8K at 10 frames per second. Fucking whoop-de-doo. What's the point?
No.
Yeah, no. So I doubt very highly. Like, I had this conversation with Ali today. I'm like, even if I had the disposable income to warrant buying another console, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
I didn't upgrade my PS4. I ran a base model PS4 all the way fucking through the entire generation. Probably gonna do the same thing here.
Yeah, I switched to the Slim purely for transport, like, not because I wanted the new console, but it just
and then you bought a transportation device to play, so you don't have to transport.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's a thing.
It's never The Last of Us.
Quotations.
Yeah, rumor has it, The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered is the next PS5 game Sony plans to port to PC. According to the leaker, who correctly shared that Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut would be coming to the platform prior to the official announcement, the user who goes by Silk Knife on Twitter suggests the port will be revealed next month, though there'll be a, quote, longer than usual period between the announcement date and the release day. Sony has generally opted for somewhat quick turnarounds when announcing PC ports of its PS5 and PS4 titles, with most coming out around 6 months after the first announcement. For example, Forbidden West Complete Edition was confirmed for PC last September and will launch this coming week. Naughty Dog will be hoping the sequel doesn't ship in the same state as Last of Us Part 1 on PC, which was pretty rough, to say the least.
Yeah, so the key thing around that is who's handling this port. Like, that's the question. Yeah. There's no discussion around that at the moment. If it's Nixus, we should be okay, because the Horizon one, although not perfect, was still very, very good. Forbidden West, haven't seen. We'll wait and see. Hopefully it comes through. Can't if I can put it on PC. The turnaround time on this, well, once again, technically it's quick, but also not really, because Last of Us Part 2 came out in 2020 and the port came out earlier this year. Like, I guess technically they are reducing the time frame of the console release to the PC release.
I think Last of Us stands in a very precarious spot in the sense that it is now so out there in pop culture due to the TV show and all of that stuff. They kind of, while it's in the hype zone for lack of a better term.
The zeitgeist. Probably,
the zeitgeist, yeah. It's good to go to that now.
Yeah.
Give the PC players a chance to play it.
So with, I think...
Let them ruin season two for themselves.
Yeah, pretty much, eh? So I think... I think shooting for Last of Us, the season two wraps up real soon, and the game's drop and the game, the series is dropping early next year. So it is a bit. You'd think they'd drop it later in the year to close that gap, but you know, now if they drop it semi soon in the next couple of months, like let's say the next 6 months, well, it comes back into the year. It's kind of fine. You know, it's enough time for people to play part two, get irrationally angry, and then watch, and then forget, then watch the series. You know. I play it on PC.
I wonder if Ashley Johnson will get like a whole new set of hate mail.
Oh, straight up, absolutely.
From all the PC players this time around.
It's hard. Mm. Yeah. Quick bits. Aspyr apologizes for the Star Wars Battlefront Classic's horrible launch. Do you have any more specifics around this? Because I haven't.
The servers are a whole fucking dumpster fire of bullshit, and that's almost impossible to play, apparently.
Awesome. Awesome. Sea of Thieves tops the PS5 pre-order charts. Good, because that game is sick. And, like, I am contemplating grabbing it again now for the PS5, because I had a blast with it on PC. And, you know, I played it pre-launch at PAX on an actual fucking pirate ship. It was a whole cool experience, and it's bummed that I could never really play it. But bringing it over here, still the best time. Fantastic. Love it. Stig Amusen, that's his name, of God of War 3 fame. He was the game director on that one. He's opening a new studio called Giant Skull. Once again, so he's kind of a name that I went, oh, okay, I'm curious to see what you're going to do, but I'm not going to follow it and wait and see what he does. This one cut me deep, Max, and it fucking hurt. Marvel Spider-Man, The Great Web, a multiplayer spin-off game, which we know to have been canned as through the Insomniac leaks, which I didn't know because I didn't read the leaks. So when I saw this trailer, I got really fucking excited. And then I remembered that it got canned. I went, oh. So a trailer dropped this week, essentially showing what would be a 5-person multiplayer Spider-Man game, which, as I said, it breaks my heart.
But see, the thing is, it looked like it was just fucking Gotham Knights, but instead of grappling hooking around, I was just Spider-Man swinging.
Yeah.
Like, it's still going to have everything I hate about those games in it. The only difference is like, oh, I can swing around. As long as the swing mechanics were going to be okay, like, you could have fun with it.
I'm not arguing that at all. Like, if it is anything like Gotham Knights, probably why I got canned. Okay, cool, poop. But for me, the part that breaks my heart is that I could have played multiverse, Spider-Man with my son. That is what's been taken away. Like, not from me directly. They didn't say, fuck you, Ryan, and take it away. That'd be horrible and very specific.
You could play Marvel's Avengers with him. It's got Spider-Man. It's not the same. He can swing around as Spider-Man. You can fucking jump around as Hulk.
It's not the same. But, because that game was poo. But look, yeah, this, like, I sent him the trailer and I said, hey, bud, check this out. It's not coming, but wouldn't it have been cool?
Why? Because why would you do that?
Because
why would you do that?
I sent it before I remembered that it got canned, if I'm being honest. I was really excited. I thought it was DLC. I was like, fuck yes. And then I forgot. And it's good to disappoint your children sometimes. But yeah, like, he and I, we would have smashed this fucking game. And I would have loved to have done it, but sadly, not the case. Sea of Stars adds local co-op in a new update, which is cool. Sea of Stars fucking ruled. And it was a great little throwback RPG. And adding some local co-op would be cool. Would I play it again? Probably not. I enjoyed it, though. Story DLC is heading to Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I'd be keen to play that again. A bit more of that. And finally, in the quick bits, Summer Games Fest is kicking off June 7th. So be sure to see individuals coming on stage announcing a new studio and not releasing a game of what we've heard so far, what we've experienced so far.
Upcoming titles this week. We have Hi-Fi Rush, March 18th. MLB The Show 24, March 19th, although it's available now if you have the Honkin edition.
Yeah, if you had the Fancy Pants edition, you got it early.
Alone in the Dark, PS5, March 20th.
I kind of forgot that this game was coming, like, because it was meant to drop October of last year. After email play on, let me forget.
Dragon's Dogma 2, PS5, March 22nd.
That's got Max's weenie.
Rise of the Ronin, PS5, March 22nd.
It's got everybody's weenie.
The Legend of Legacy HD Remastered, PS4, PS5, March 22nd.
No one's weenie.
And Grandia HD Collection, PS4, March 26th.
Weeby weenie.
Which is, I think, technically not next week. It's the week after.
No, it's the week after. Spoilers. look, obviously for me, MLB The Show is a biggie. Rise of the Ronin, you'll hear about our thoughts in the coming week. Hi-Fi Rush has my attention because that was like the only critically acclaimed, well, kind of received game that Xbox have released in fucking years. And it's kind of different because, like, was it Tango? And Tango did... They did The Evil Within, I think.
Yes, they did. And they did Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah, so like it's tonally completely different to what they've done in the past. And that is why it certainly has my attention. And Alone in the Dark, I played the demo and went hands-on. I played the demo and then went hands-on with a different section over at PAX. And I, a big throwback lover of Alone in the Dark, A New Nightmare on PS1 and 2. I'm very interested to see what they do with Alone in the Dark. It should be exciting. And I think Dragon's Dogma is the only one that's getting you kind of excited, isn't it, Max?
Dragon's Dogma and Rise of Ronin.
Well, Ronin, which we can't speculate on. We can't.
Yeah, Rise of Ronin. Yeah.
All right. Well, big thank you to everyone for checking out this long one this week. Hot. It's been a blast. It was good. How'd you feel? You know, that's still a bit of self-assessment, Max. How'd you feel the episode went this week?
Long.
It was long. I really need to shut the fuck up.
Did Bears in Space ever come across the consoles? Because apparently that launches on March 22nd too.
Currently still on PC only.
PC only.
That game looked awesome. And we had the opportunity to go like do some cool stuff with it at PAX, but because it was only on PC, I did feel disingenuous if we were to cover it because it's just not our wheelset.
Not our jam.
Not our jam.
Says the guy who's been releasing less plays on PC and spoke
about it. I pick
the things we do. It's
no gas station. Look, I know that the larger interest of gas station simulator is very small, so it's fine.
Oh yeah,
but someone to have an opportunity to go interview the team behind Bears in Space, like that should go to someone that can actively
for sure.
Give it its best.
Yeah.
Speaking of giving your best, we've given a fine job. Thank you everyone once again for checking out this week's episode. I say it pretty much every week. Time is the most precious thing we have in this world, so thank you so much for choosing to spend it with us. As we go back to the start of the episode, we're talking about like how the fuck do people have time to do all these things, yet you somehow made time to listen to this show and get all the way to the end. Presumably we really really appreciate it. And look, we would do this show with anyway, but it's even better when we get to share it with all of you.
Well, everybody, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials: Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
I went to do the X. You didn't call it X this time. You fucking threw me. I'm trying to do like gang signs and stuff. If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/swapcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/topculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Actually, we finally like sold a shirt this week. Not even nothing to do with this show, by the way. It was the one we made about the Great Emu War. Awesome shirt.
But, I got distracted by a fucking squirrel with a gun.
A squirrel with a gun?
Oh, have you not seen the trailer for Squirrel with a Gun coming to PC, Xbox, and PS5 later this year?
No.
fucking go.
Let's stop recording. I'm gonna go fucking see this trailer.